Could everyone please rise for the Right Honourable Lord Mayor Basil Zemsis?
Good afternoon, everybody. Can I formally declare the agenda briefing session for the City of Perth open at 4:03 p.m. I respectfully acknowledge the traditional owners of the land upon which we meet, the Whadjuk Noongar people of Western Australia, and pay our respects to elders past and present. It is indeed a privilege to be standing on Whadjuk Noongar country. CEO, can I ask you to recite the prayer, please?
Thank you. Almighty God, under whose providence we hold responsibility for this city, grant us wisdom to understand its present needs, foresight to anticipate its future growth, and grace to serve our fellow citizens with integrity and selfless devotion. And to thee be all blessing and glory forever. Amen.
Thank you. So, yeah, thank you, everybody. Please be seated. All righty, let's go through the attendance. And in attendance today, the Deputy Lord Mayor, Sandy Angie, Councillor Di Bain, not here as yet. Do we have any notification?
No, Lord Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Councillor Clive Bevan, Councillor Brent Fleeton, Councillor Liam Gobbett, Councillor Rebecca Gordon, Councillor Victor Coe and Councillor Catherine Leeser. Also in attendance are the Chief Executive Officer, General Manager of Corporate Services, General Manager of Infrastructure and Operations, Acting General Manager Planning and Economic Development, Acting General Manager of Community Development, Acting Alliance Manager Executive Services, Project Director Strategic Finance, Acting Alliance Manager Governance, and Governance Officer. And there are no apologies. There are no elected members on an approved leave of absence. That's 3.2. And 3.3, a reminder to elected members to please submit any applications for a leave of absence prior to the ordinary council meeting next week. I'd like to take this opportunity to remind everybody that the next ordinary council meeting will take place on Tuesday, May 25 at midday instead of 5 p.m. So part of our experimentation with different time slots to see who may or may not be able to make it. We're hoping to appeal to as many of our ratepayers and residents as is possible and making the times appropriate for all. 4 o'clock start today. You can see a very good crowd in the room, which is excellent. The alternative meeting start times form part of the trial, as I mentioned, May and August, so that members of the community have an opportunity to attend meetings held during the day rather than only in the evening. Item 5.1 is public questions. A public question time will be held at the ordinary council meeting next week. So we go to 5.2, deputations. The deputations have been received in relation to item 11.1, that is the proposed 9-level multiple dwelling residential development number 20, lot 3, Mounts Bay Road. We have been advised of 4 deputations. They are Neil Hartley, Danielle Davison, Peter Oates and Jennifer Ettinger, I believe. I think I've said that right. So, in relation to the first deputation, Neil Hartley is unable to attend this afternoon and has requested his deputation be read aloud, which I will now do.
Lord Mayor, just before you do that, I have to declare indirect financial interest. Am I able to stay in the room during deputations?
Yes, that's fine.
Thanks.
Thank you, Councillor Fleeton. Deputation 1, then. Section 4.52, this is from Neil Hartley, the transfer of the plot ratio policy says in the introduction that the transfer will not adversely impact on the general amenity of the city. The report highlights a large number of submissions claiming that the amenity of the surrounding area will be adversely impacted, me being one of them. That's not me, that's Neil. And whilst the report contends that these submissions do not sway the officers from their view, largely due to the fact that the application is apparently compliant, the report does not at any point highlight that the final judgment of that policy position decision is at the council's discretion. The report, as it currently stands, promotes a fait accompli view, which is then reflected in the recommendation that there is only one realistic option for councillors to select. The local Crawley community must rely upon the councillors to have a clear understanding of the policy and then use that knowledge to perhaps suggest the officer recommendation ought to be modified. Can I suggest that this could be rectified by altering the recommendation to read that on the basis that council agrees that there will be no adverse impact on the general amenity of the area in the vicinity of this proposed development, council, in accordance with the provisions of City Planning Scheme Number 2, this minor change would strengthen claims as outlined in the report and clarify council accepts that the policy's conditions have been met in full. It could be used as a defence against any challenges to the content and conclusions of the report and would strengthen any possible follow-up claims that the policy had not been adequately understood or considered by councillors when they made their collective decision. And I believe that does conclude the deputation from Neil Hartley. We thank Neil for it, and those of you in the room who may know Neil, please let him know that it has been presented tonight. Our next deputation, Danielle Davison representing Momentum Wealth and George Ashton representing Element, that's together. And if Danielle and George are in the room, then they might like to make their way forward. If you could just state your name and where you are from, that would be greatly appreciated. We're going together or one after the other? One after the other, if you could, your name and where you're from.
Sure. So my name is Danielle Davison and I'm here representing Damien Collins from Momentum Wealth today. No, do you
want to? Yes, George Ashton from Element. I'm the planning consultant on the project for 20 Mount Sparrow Road.
Thank you both.
So, good afternoon, Lord Mayor and councillors. Thank you for allowing me this time to give a very brief overview of our development application that is before the city for a decision next week of 20 Mount Bay Road. As I said, my name is Danielle Davison and I'm here representing Damien Collins of Momentum Wealth, who is the sole director of the proposed development company of the property. I'll leave it to George, our very qualified planner, to run you through the intricate elements of the proposal in a short moment, whilst I would like to very quickly give you a brief overview of our development vision for the site. I was specifically employed by Momentum Wealth to run this development for them due to my extensive experience in delivering luxury apartments in the UK, specifically Mayfair and Soho, London. Damien asked me to ensure that this project would be a new level of luxury for the city of Perth, one that could attract buyers locally, interstate and abroad. Having accepted this challenge, I set about briefing NJA architects, and the brief was simple. Be bold, be different, and do not be ordinary. The resultant building has taken inspiration from the style and designs of the late internationally renowned architect Zaha Hadid, and one that we believe has successfully achieved the brief. The building is both contemporary yet groundbreaking. In a time that Perth seeks to find its identity, the proposed building stakes its claim and proudly stands out as one of a kind. The city's own design review panel noted the design to be setting a benchmark for new development in the area. The location of the site, located in Crawley on Mounts Bay Road, that area has been untouched by development for over a decade. New luxury buyers are left to look elsewhere for accommodations, with the existing stock outdated, aged and often in need of full refurbishment. This project, while not yet even launched, has already seen significant buyer interest locally and further afield. This development has the potential to put Crawley back on the map for high-end buyers. Whilst we have sought to submit a mostly compliant scheme, there have remained a number of objections from nearby residents, if I may specifically comment on several points for clarity. We are voluntarily retaining the white aged gum tree on site. We see this as a beautiful part of the existing surrounds, and so much so we have specifically designed the building around the tree. We have come in at 35.5 metres in height, well under the 39 metres limit. And whilst the neighbours to the east at 1 Winfield Place have objected to the visual privacy setback near their pool, it is noteworthy and indeed noted in the city's own planning report that the buildings are separated by not only 40 metres, but by significant vegetation also. Notwithstanding this, the pool in reference is also currently overlooked by its own residents and two other existing buildings. The truth is, in a high-density built form environment, if a pool is built between new buildings and the view, there is undoubtedly going to be an element of overlooking. In acknowledging this for our own pool, we have extensively screened the area to provide privacy. I thank you once again, and we now hand over to George to discuss the planning merits.
Thank you.
Thanks, Danielle, and thank you, Lord Mayor and Councillors, for the opportunity to speak today in support of the proposed development, which proposes to replace the existing residential apartment development at the site with a more contemporary design solution that aligns with the zoning and built form controls under the City Planning Scheme No. 2. We would also like to extend our thanks to the City's officers and confirm our support for the officers' recommendation for approval subject to conditions. The development before you today is the product of a robust process of design review. This has included an enlightened client brief, a thorough site analysis, responsive pre-lodgement engagement with the City's officers and the City Architect, and a review by the City's Design Advisory Committee, which has supported the proposed plot ratio transfer and identified that the development is of a high architectural standard. This results in a high-quality development that is consistent with the statement of intent for the Crawley residential area under the Matilda Bay Precinct Plan, which encourages the provision of spacious, high-quality dwellings set in landscape surrounds. With respect to the proposed transfer of plot ratio, we note that this is a well-established practice within the City of Perth that supports beneficial heritage outcomes throughout the city. The officer's report also clearly articulates that the transferred plot ratio is accommodated with an almost wholly compliant building envelope that is below the maximum permitted building height for the site, compatible with the scale of existing development on surrounding sites, and generally set back further than the minimum setback requirements. The development also maintains a generous rear setback to minimise overshadowing impacts to adjoining properties and includes extensive landscaping and deep soil zones in recognition of the importance of landscaping to the established character of the Crawley residential area. As a result of this, the only notable built form variation is the reduced visual privacy setback to the eastern lot boundary at the interface with the communal swimming pool area at 1 Wingfield Avenue. The justification for this variation is well articulated in the officer's report, and we would like to take the opportunity to reiterate that the adopted massing approach provides extensive building-to-building separation to existing buildings on surrounding sites in excess of the minimum distances recommended by the residential design codes. The proposed balconies are also designed to direct views away from primary habitable spaces, direct views from primary habitable spaces away from the eastern neighbour and towards the primary river view, with the adjacent pool also benefiting from existing vegetation that provides screening at the lower building levels. As Danielle mentioned, the adjacent pool is also a communal space that is currently overlooked by its own residents and those of surrounding sites, including the existing development at 20 Mounts Back Road. As such, the resultant visual privacy outcomes are considered acceptable and will not have any undue adverse amenity impact on the adjacent swimming pool, noting the established character of the area as a higher residential locality in which there is already a degree of overlooking between properties, as would reasonably be expected in such an environment. For these reasons, the proposed development is observed to be contextually appropriate and consistent with the city's desired future character for the locality as established by the applicable planning framework. The council's approval of this application is therefore respectfully requested in accordance with the officer recommendation. I thank you for your time, and I note that we have a number of members of the project team here today, and we would collectively be happy to answer any questions that you may have. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I should have asked the councillors previously for Danielle or for George if there are any questions. Are there any questions? Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. You mentioned as part of the application that you'd tried to enhance the screening measures. Could you give me some more context as to what exactly you propose? Are you proposing frosted glass, screening, physical barriers, hoods to the windows, that sort of thing, or are you just keeping it open?
Thank you for your question, Councillor. The screening I was referring to was from the existing vegetation on the adjacent site between the boundary with our property. At this stage, our preference is to retain unscreened balconies along that elevation, and we feel that's appropriate given the site, the contextually responsive
approach that we've suggested to managing visual crimes.
Thank you, Councillor Gold. I should note Councillor Bain's attendance. Welcome, Councillor Bain. Thank you for being here. No, it's okay. Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Mr. Lord Mayor. I was just wondering if you had any further comment regarding the proposed conditions and whether you were agreeable to them or if there's anything else you wanted to say to them.
Thank you for your question, Councillor. We've reviewed the officer's report and the recommended conditions and we are comfortable with those.
Councillor Bain.
I've seen the tree that you're referring to. It's had a bit of a haircut. Is it going to survive? It's quite ugly in that area. It's quite noticeable, I should say. I shouldn't say it's ugly.
Thank you for your question through you, Lord Mayor. It is actually just had a haircut. That was not. It wasn't for any other reason than a very large section of the tree fell down. We took photographs at the time because we were concerned that may come up. And it was done for safety. So actually 22 Mounts Bay Road wrote to us and sought independent arborist advice with regard to the tree. And the advice was that it needed to be pruned. So we took their advice and we proceeded with their quote. And so it has had a haircut. We are assured that the tree is healthy and fine and are just as concerned about its welfare as yourself, given that we designed the building around it. But we are assured that the tree is fine and it's a natural part of the pruning.
Thank you, Danielle. Sometimes you don't always look great after a haircut. I've been there myself. I empathise with that tree. Thank you, Councillor Bain. Are there any further questions from any of our councillors? That being the case, I'll thank both Danielle and George. Thank you very much for being here. The third deputation this evening is from Peter Oates. Peter, are you in the room?
Yeah.
Peter, good evening. Thank you for being here, and if you'd like to just introduce yourself, tell us where you're from and away you go.
Sure. Thank you for the opportunity to present. My name is Peter Oates. I'm the chairman of the Council of Owners at Crawley House, Crawley House being located immediately to the north and contiguous with the development site. I'd like to make 3 points. Firstly, the purpose. Outlined in the council papers is to determine a development application for the demolition and construction of a building at 20 Mounts Bay Road. And it further goes on that at item 16, in terms of the conditions, that the gum tree is to be protected from damage during demolition and construction. And as made reference a little while ago, this tree has taken a severe haircut. Now, when gum trees are pruned that severely, because of the storage of energy within the tree, you actually get sprouts of leaves at various parts on the tree. Mr. Lord Mayor, with your indulgence, I'd like you to suspend standing order so I can show you two photos. One, the tree was a photo taken some years back, but the other is the actual pruned tree. This photo was taken yesterday morning. There is not one growth spurt on the tree 4 weeks after it was pruned. Are you going to give me permission to circulate that?
That's fine, yeah. Councillor Gordon, if you could have a look. Have a look, pass them on. It's like at school.
This is a condition of the development application. And I'm going to suggest that an independent arborist be appointed at the expense of the developers to see whether this tree is dying, and in the event that the tree will not survive, council should reject outright the development application. It's contravened condition 16. Secondly, this was an opportunity for the developer to act in a socially responsible manner, provide some amenity to the area or a fund to council in which the benefit of being granted the transfer of plot ratio. We heard earlier that there was three criteria in terms of developing this this property. The first one was be bold. I can't recall the other two. But not one of them referred to the impact on the amenity of the local people. Not one. And so it's not surprising we've got the outcome that we have. This was an opportunity to give, not just take. Instead, the developers have sought to maximise their returns without any consideration of the impact of the amenity in the area, as evidenced by many of the submissions. They will take the money and run. It's disappointing that the Perth City Council has not established a developers' contribution fund, which would require developers to make a contribution where developments exceed the approved base plot ratio in the area. The Netherlands Council are talking about establishing such a policy, and it appears to have the preliminary support of the Minister. Finally, I want to address the process conducted by the Planning Department. Initial advice of the development application was received by residents on the 19th of March with a requirement that we respond by the 6th of April. We sought and obtained an extension of 1 week. This time we received the documentation close of business Friday, and we have had 1 business day to prepare our response today. We haven't had access to the revised traffic report or other documents that may exist, so we cannot comment on them. The Crawley Enclave provides council with a rich vein of revenue. That doesn't entitle us to special treatment, but nor does it allow council to treat the residents with such disdain. Providing 1 business day to prepare for this meeting is manifestly unfair. The Perth City Council is in the process of restoring trust with its constituents and the community. I urge you to think about what has been presented to you this evening and in the submissions that you've received in the past. This building is intrusive. It juts right out onto Mounts Bay Road. As people use Mounts Bay Road in an easterly and westerly direction in the future, they'll be asking themselves, how did council ever approve this building? And council and Mr. Lord Mayor, your names will be forever associated with it. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rhodes. I appreciate it. Just stay there if you don't mind, in case any of our councillors have any questions that they might like to direct to you. I might just say that it's my intention, unless governance strictly advises me otherwise, that I might, given there were some questions that we might well be able to answer, given some of the questions relate to people in the room that just spoke before you, I might invite Danielle and George back just to ask them a specific question or two. But are there any questions for Mr. Oates in the first instance? No? Thank you, Mr. Oates. Appreciate your time, and thank you very much. We've heard your deputation loud and clear. I might then take the opportunity, Danielle Davison and George Ashton, to return to the microphone. In relation to those points made about the... An arborist was engaged, consulted. If you could just clarify that for us.
That's correct, Lord Mayor. I've brought a copy of the quotation and the advice that we were provided. This was provided second-hand from the building next door. It was at their request that we had the pruning undertaken, and it was because of a safety concern, one of the very large branches, not the one that actually fell off a week later by happenstance, but they were concerned about it overhanging their driveway. So they actually paid half, and the strata company of our building paid the other half. But I've also provided, and I can circulate this if you so wish, a copy of the branch that fell down 1 week later, as well as the advice. So I've got that today if you'd like me to circulate that.
Have you seen the photos that Mr. Oates gave to us to be circulated?
I haven't seen the photos. I have seen the tree. It was a concern to us as well, right, that the tree didn't look great.
Yeah. Is that tree okay?
I'm told so. We would be happy to have a report undertaken. Obviously, this one of our questions of the quotation that we received was that they must be a qualified tree pruner, arborist, that we couldn't have some hack up there with a chainsaw, particularly given the site was coming towards yourselves for approval and we could be subject to scrutiny. So you will see in the quote they are a qualified and a registered arborist, and it was their advice that what was done was done. Damien himself has given me a please explain why does the tree look the way it is. We would be more than happy to have an arborist out there, an independent, if not the same one, a different one, to have a look at that tree. if this arborist has damaged it, I'm not sure what we'll be able to do about it other than probably take action against them, but it won't bring the tree back. But we are assured that tree is okay and is not dying, but we would be happy to get a second report to confirm that.
Mr. Rice, when was that photo taken?
Yesterday morning.
Okay, all right. Are there any further questions from any of our elected members? Okay, with that being the case, thank you again, Danielle, and thank you, George. And with no further questions at that point, we'll go to our fourth deputation of the evening, Jennifer Ettinger. Jennifer? How'd I go with your surname?
Ettinger, but not
Ettinger.
Bad. Yeah.
Sorry. I always tell my CEO at citizenship ceremonies to say them fast and no one will notice. I didn't do my best work there. Jennifer, could you state your name and where you are from, please?
Okay, so I'm Jennifer Ettinger. I live at 4 Crawley Avenue, so I live at the apartment complex which directly overlooks 20 Mounts Bay Road. So in my apartment, I'm one of the owners that's likely to be directly affected by this development. What I wanted to talk to the council today about was just about a discrete point in relation to this development, and that's in relation to the transfer of plot ratio that this development is predicated upon. As I said, I live on the 8th floor and I'm here because I'm very fortunate in one hand because I currently have a panoramic river view, but once this development proceeds, I will no longer have that view. And so that's, I suppose, it's my interest that I'm very, that is going to be significantly adversely affected by this development. The council's transfer of plot ratio policy provides that plot ratio, may subject to local government approval be transferred to another place. But I don't think that when that policy was framed, that the policy framers would think that it would be appropriate for the transfer to occur for heritage purposes when that transfer will significantly affect the adjacent properties around where the plot ratio is being transferred to. And the reason for that view is that the council planning policy, which is bonus plot ratio policy, so that's section 4.5 of the planning policy manual. In this policy manual, this is page 6, it says bonus plot ratio will only be granted for development which is not likely to have a significant adverse impact upon an adjacent property in the general locality. Before council, in fact, make a decision about this development, I would invite the council to come to 4 Crawley House to view our complex, to look out from our apartments, to apprise yourself of the significant adverse impact which will occur from the transfer of plot ratio, and that affects around about 3 to 4 or more floors of our complex. I think that in making this decision, that council should have reference to this bonus plot ratio policy. The reason being is that the developers have presumably, by a process of contract, they're likely to give some money to the property which is donating the plot ratio, the heritage property, and then receive from that particular property bonus plot ratio. It's analogous to a bonus plot ratio situation. So the council's own policy on bonus plot ratio is that it will only be granted for development which is not likely to have a significant impact on adjacent property. Now, the council's planning department in page 14 of your agenda notes at item 14, paragraph 14, says, and I paraphrase, that with respect to the concerns raised regarding loss of views, it is not directly relevant in any assessment of the planning merit of the proposed development and cannot be specifically addressed within the relevant planning framework. I believe that that is wrong. I think that they're making an error of law in relation to the application of the bonus plot ratio policy in the circumstances. This policy specifically provides that if there is a significant adverse impact on adjacent properties that's directly relevant to the assessment of merit of planning merit. So the council planners have admitted in paragraph 14 on page 14 of your agenda notes that the development will impact residents' views to the Swan River and the city. We don't need a expert valuer to tell us that. We don't need, I think, to tell me that if my view of the river is removed, then the value of my property and those of my neighbours is likely also to significantly reduce. We also have privacy issues. When you live in an apartment, you can't, if you're on the eighth floor, you can't put up a fence to protect your privacy. The effect of the transfer of plot ratio in this instance is that many more floors of our building will have balconies and bedrooms which look directly into our living area. When our building was built, it was built in 1964, same age as me, there was no, it wasn't really built on the basis that there was going to be, in fact, apartments in front of them. So none of our living areas have screening or anything of that nature in relation to privacy protection. So I would urge the council to approach the transfer of plot ratio decision to use the same decision criteria that is in this section 4.2 of the bonus plot ratio policy, and that is the council should only grant the transfer plot ratio if it is not likely to have a significant impact on an adjacent property. I would say that that's not the case in this development, and as I said earlier, I'd invite the council to come to view Crawley House and our apartment complex is called Crawley Gardens because we have an extensive area of gardens around our complex and quite a bit of distance between us and the surrounding apartments, which I don't believe that this development has. So thank you very much for your time, and that concludes my submission.
Thank you, Jennifer. Appreciate that. I'll just ask you to stay there for a moment, if you don't mind, if any of the councillors have any. I'll ask, how many residents in your complex?
There are 25 apartments and, times three, probably 75 to 100, maybe, people. Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions? Councillor Bain?
Thank you very much. It's given us a lot of food for thought. Can I ask you, how long have you lived in the apartments?
I have lived in the apartments for 11 years now.
And was it your expectation, or were you aware of this policy before you bought
it? No, I wasn't aware of the transfer of heritage policy. What I understood when I bought in was that the complex in front could be developed to 6 levels, but not to 9. So, one of the gentlemen that's with me here today has recently bought in, and much to his surprise, thinking that he would not be impacted by this development, but to his surprise he's found out because of this heritage transfer plot ratio that he's likely to completely lose his views and also not be able to see the sky probably either. Yeah.
And just a follow-up question for me, sure. Through you, Lord Mayor. The number of floors affected, you said it was 4?
That's right, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We have two apartments per floor.
Yeah.
Double the number, yeah.
And so what would you find as to be an acceptable development in if this one didn't go ahead?
Look, I think if the development is minus, I suppose from a personal perspective, I had expected that the property in front, because of its age, was likely to be developed, and I had thought that it would be developed up to 6 floors. and within whatever the appropriate council guidelines are at the time. I'm just quite surprised that the transfer of plot ratio from one heritage building to preserve amenity in one area is used in this instance to, we say, quite significantly impact the amenity of the Crawley area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Baines. Anyone else have any further questions? Okay, that being the case, Jennifer, thank you. Appreciate you being here tonight. Thank you also, Mr. Oates. Thank you, Danielle. Thank you, George, and noting that we did read the deputation from Neil Hartley. Thank you, everybody. Now, CEO, do we have, in fact, we move to item 6 on the agenda, and that's disclosures of interest. CEO, have any been received?
Yes, Lord Mayor. A direct financial interest has been received from Councillor Gordon in relation to item 16.4, review of policy 9.2, heritage rate concession, as Councillor Gordon's apartment meets the criteria set out in the policy and is therefore eligible for the rate concession. And an indirect financial interest has been received from Councillor Fleeton in relation to item 11.1, proposed 9-level multi-dwelling residential development at number 20, lot 3, Mounts Bay Road, Crawley, as one of the applicants has engaged his employer in the last 12 months.
Thank you, CEO. We move to councillors with... Yeah, from the floor. I'll go first. How does that sound? So in relation to this item, nature of interest is impartiality, and Mr. Collins from Momentum Wealth is the Rework president, and I have interviewed him on the radio from time to time. Mr. Collins' daughter also is in the same class as mine at school. And that's for item 11.1. Yes, Deputy Lord Mayor.
I also have an impartiality interest for item 11.1, the proposed 9-level development, and that's being an architect. The architect, NJA Studio, and the planner Element are known to me, and I've also met the developer, Damien Collins, at an event hosted by Rewa.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Are there any others from the floor? Okay, items 7 to 10 will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. So we move to reports, and I'll ask if any councillor has a question in relation to the item as we move through these reports. So item 11.1 is the proposed 9-level multiple dwelling residential development at number 20, lot 3, Mounts Bay Road in Crawley. We've already mentioned direct financial interest received from Councillor Indirect, and Councillor Fleeton has excused himself, and we've mentioned the others. So, we have questions with some notice. Firstly, there's two from Councillor Leza, one from Councillor Bain, one from Councillor Coe. Councillor Leza, firstly.
Thank you, and through you, Lord Mayor. I'm satisfied with the answers to my question, but I do have a follow-up to my first question, which relates to Condition 3. That is regarding the conditions about the balconies and winter gardens, etc. The answer from the administration was the conditions will be included in the strata bylaws. My follow-up question is, how do we check this?
Thank you, Councillor Lisa. CEO?
And if I could direct the question to the Acting General Manager, Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you, through the Lord Mayor. We can certainly ask for a copy of the bylaws to be submitted and carried on the file for this application.
Can I follow up, please?
Yeah, sure.
Is this not standard business practice?
I'd have to take that on notice. I'm sorry. I suspect it is, but I don't want to say yes. I'll check.
Thanks to the Acting General Manager. Are there, Councillor Lucy, you're satisfied with the other questions that you and the answers you've received?
Yes, I am. I know this is not the time to make statements, but it is interesting to note that EV charging isn't always top of mind in these things that I'm reading in our briefing packs.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Leza. Councillor Bain, you had a question.
Yeah, I think my question was largely answered, but if I could frame it differently,
what height would the building be allowed to go to if it didn't get its heritage plot ratio bonus concession?
Thanks, Councillor Bain. See you.
And through to the Acting General Manager of Planning and Economic Development.
Thank you. Through the Lord Mayor, I will refer the elected members to page 18 of the report, where it states there's a slight misunderstanding, I think, on the transfer of this plot ratio. It doesn't actually add to the height of this development. The development is actually fairly well compliant with height. It is permitted to go to 39 metres, and it is 35.5 in the current application. So the plot ratio is extended across the floors as opposed to adding to the height. If that makes sense?
Yes.
Thanks, Acting General Manager. Thanks, Councillor Bain.
Thank you very much.
Councillor Coe, you had a question?
Sorry, just some clarity there. I'm just looking on page number 12. It basically says the maximum transfer plot ratio of 20% says it can get up to 39. But that's after the transfer? Or is that without the transfer?
Through the CEO to the Acting General Manager.
Yes, the actual transfer is only 307 square metres, so that doesn't add a lot to the height. That is actually compiled across each of the floors. So, yes, the 39 is the total it can get up to. But it is generally compliant within the building envelope of this area. It's not measured in floors, unfortunately. It's measured in metres.
Thank you, Acting General Manager. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gobbett. Councillor Coe, you okay with that? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Was there another? Do you have another question?
No. I'm still unclear.
So the Acting General Manager is suggesting that can provide a written explanation if that helps.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Are there any further questions, councillors? Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. In the deputation this evening, one of the presenters, I believe it was Daniel, mentioned that this development would be setting a new benchmark. To what point is that out of keeping with the existing character and the local amenity?
Thanks, Councillor Gobbett, CEO, Acting General Manager.
That's a very good question. There's no requirement to fit into the existing character per se in the built form, as if there's certainly built form requirements to be achieved in this area, but it's not a heritage area that needs to be conformed to in that regard. So it's actually, I think the statement was referring to a generalisation of an exceptional building standard. I'm assuming.
Thank you. Yes, that addresses the question. My follow-up question would be on the point of visual privacy. Did we require at any point during the assessment of the application, as one of the submitters again this evening mentioned, that there would be some screening and vegetation was mentioned, but vegetation could be cut down. Are we requiring as a condition for screening devices or frosted windows or other things to address the residents' concerns of visual privacy and overlooking that cone of vision intrusion into neighbouring properties?
Thanks, Councillor. Through the CEO to the Acting General Manager.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. There is not a provision at this time. This application has gone through the design review process, and it was determined through that and the actual development assessment process that there was no need to apply such screening on this application. However, it is within the Council's remit to add a condition if it believes that's warranted.
Thank you, Acting General Manager. DLM.
Just one question. So in the deputation by Jennifer Edgar of Crawley House, she noted that she believed there had been an error of law in applying the policy, just wanting the administration to respond to that.
See you. Acting General Manager.
Thank you. I don't believe that there is an error of law per se in this regard. I was looking closely when I heard that comment. The point that's being made is that, and I will stand to be corrected, that if the transfer of plot ratio should not be applied unless if there is a significant impact on amenity and visual privacy or something to those extent. This is within the actual confines of the building envelope that is envisaged for this area, in which case any development on this site will probably, because it's an old building that's been demolished and it's not being replaced like for like, there will be an impact on views for residents. So I don't believe there's an error of law in the application.
Thank you, Acting General Manager. Councillor Gobbett.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I just have one additional question, or two. How long after planning approval is granted can the city enforce a condition of that approval if the tree dies, if we incorporate that into a condition of approval? Can we then determine that as a condition of granting approval that a tree be replaced or similar or multiple trees? I mean, how far can we take this?
Thanks, Councillor Gobbett. CEO?
Through to the General Manager of Planning and Economic Development.
Okay.
Thank you. Yes, all conditions would be monitored during the construction phase, and there would have to be a construction management plan as part of the development process, in which case we would be looking closely at in that management plan to ensure the protection of the tree during that time. If at some time it comes to our attention that the tree is not looking healthy, and already we've had that comment made, we do have an arborist on call to the city that we can take out on site, have go to the site to make an investigation of the tree. If there is a problem, then yes, we can actually require that compliance with the with that and that the tree is either replaced or, you know, it does become a compliance issue at that point.
Thank you, Acting General Manager. Yes, Councillor Gobbett? Thank you. Councillor Gordon.
Through you, Mr. Chair.
Yes, that's how we like it.
Back to the question regarding the error of law, potential error of law. Is the transfer of plot ratio actually considered under bonus plot ratio, or is it two separate instruments?
CEO?
Yes.
Are you happy to answer that?
There are actually two instruments, or two policies that exist for transfer of plot ratio, and then there is the... there's another plot ratio, bonus plot ratio policy as well. It does become quite complicated. Mm. If I may, Lord Mayor, I would like to add that, and this was a question that was raised by Councillor Coe, we didn't have time to respond to it, so I'm just preempting, that this policy does apply to the whole of the City of Perth area. That's the way the policy is written. Its head of power is through the planning scheme. Now, the planning scheme is under review and the policies will be reviewed with it. So that is an appropriate time to look at this issue and the proximity of plot ratio transfer. So we can't do that independently at this point in time.
Thank you, Acting General Manager. Councillor Coe.
Yeah, just thanks, Lord Mayor. Thanks for answering that. The reason why I'm interested, I wanted to see, are there any other examples in the city where there has been a heritage transfer or plot ratio where we've actually seen an example of benefit from this policy?
Thank you, Gina.
I'm not sure that this will answer directly that, but I did ask a question of the Manager of Development Approvals of a recent transfer, and we have three heritage properties, 76 Whitnome Street, East Perth, with 269 square metres, 474 Murray Street, 165.9 square metres, and 938 Hay Street, 278 square metres, were transferred to 240 Adelaide Terrace Development. So they purchased off three of the properties. As far as the actual impact on those heritage buildings, I'm sorry, I'd have to take that on notice to actually provide comment on improvements.
Okay, thank you, Acting General Manager. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gordon.
Did the city also not recently consider the transfer of plot ratio for the premises opposite Parliament House?
CEO? Acting General Manager.
We'll have to take that on notice. Thank you.
Okay. Yes, Councillor Bain.
Sorry, I don't have the question in front of me, but I asked who was the
principal or the owner of the property selling the plot ratio, and you gave me an answer, but I still don't know who the people are behind the businesses. I just need to know in case it's someone that may have donated to my campaign specifically.
We're happy to take that on notice and find out for you. We don't generally publish the owner's names, so we can provide that to you, Councillor Baines.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Are there any further questions from any of the councillors? No? Okay, thank you everybody. We'll move now to item number 12, which is the Community Development Alliance reports. 12.1 is the public art deaccessioning. Is that how you say it? Deaccessioning. Now, do any councillors have a question on this item? Noting that we've received three questions from the Deputy... welcome back, Councillor Fleeton. Yeah, no, well played. We wouldn't forget you. Thank you, everybody, for being here. Welcome back, Councillor Fleeton. Noting that this is 12.1, Councillor Fleeton. The Deputy Lord Mayor has three questions. Deputy Lord Mayor.
Thank you for those responses. So I just have a follow-up question. So in relation to my second question, I asked about the maintenance plan. So an answer was provided for that. It says that this has formed the basis of our city's current maintenance schedule. I just wanted to ask, in addition to that, are we up to date with our current maintenance schedule?
Thank you, DLM. CEO?
To the General Manager, Community Development.
We do have some significant challenges in terms of maintenance, like the commemorative clock work that we are currently restoring, but we do have an active schedule of maintenance and review that we have in place.
Thanks, Chair. DLM?
So just clarify, so we're not quite up to date with the maintenance schedule then?
I think, if I can say through the Lord Mayor, that as you will see through this item, we do have public artwork that required deaccessioning. This is an ongoing issue in terms of maintenance, and there was an item in February as well with other public artworks that required deaccessioning. So it is an ongoing challenge in terms of maintenance, and it was outlined in the Cultural Collections report as well.
Thank you, General Manager. Are there any further questions? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you. I was just wondering why this matter is coming before council and can't be considered under a delegation given the low value.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Back to you, GM, Community Development.
Through you, Lord Mayor. Under the current policy, we are required to provide it back through to council.
Thank you. Anything further from any of our councillors?
Potentially a bit off topic, but are we also considering the mineral kebab out the front? Is that being deassessed?
What's that? Sorry, Councillor.
The artwork out the front that looks like a mineral kebab.
That's what it's called.
Right.
Mm. Well, they call it the kebab. And because it's falling down.
Okay. GM?
Through you, Lord Mayor, that's another example of a public artwork that's currently receiving some investigation work to look at its safety, and that will be a body of work that's required to review that. It's currently underway at the moment.
Thanks, General Manager. Are there any further questions? That being the case, we'll go to item 12.2, Community Wellbeing Grants, Round 2, 2020-2021 applications. Questions from councillors, noting that two have been received by the Deputy Lord Mayor. DLM?
Thank you. The answers were provided.
Thank you, DLM. Do any councillors have any further questions? No? Thank you very much. Item 12.3, Economic Development Sponsorship Application, Innovate Australia Limited 2021 Innovation Events Program. Councillors' questions, two received from the Deputy Lord Mayor, DLM.
They're all good, answered as well.
Thank you. Are there any further questions from any of our councillors? Thanks, everybody. 12.4, Event Sponsorship Application, NAIDOC Perth, 2021 NAIDOC Perth, NAIDOC Week Perth Opening Ceremony and Signature Event, Mary Dim. Councillors with questions. Firstly, Councillor Leeser, you submitted 9 questions. Don't apologise. It's your job.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. They have been answered.
Thank you. And DLM, just 3 from you on this one.
Yes, they've also been answered.
Thanks, Councillor Angie. Do any councillors have any further questions? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you, Lord Mayor. I note that the item 9 of the report says that the event sponsorship guidelines stipulate maximum contribution shall not exceed 30% of the total project budget. If the city was to only fund 30%, do we know if the project would still go ahead and if the applicant could perhaps attract funding from other sources?
To the General Manager of Community Development.
Through you, Lord Mayor, there was a response to one of the questions submitted in terms of any impact in reduction of the monies that would be proposed. And certainly in terms of any reduction, it would have an impact, is our view, in terms of the scale and the event. I'm unaware of their ability to attract additional sponsorship if we were to say no to this proposal. It is a significant piece of work, obviously. Through.
Thank you, Councillor Gordon. Are there any further questions? Okay. We'll move then to 12.5, New Event Strategy and 2021-22 Plan. Questions have been received from Councillor Leeser, Councillor Bain and the Deputy Lord Mayor. Let's start, Councillor Leeser, with you. There were four questions submitted.
Yeah, I think I'm fine with those answers. Thank you, Lord Mayor.
Thanks, Councillor Leeser. Councillor Bain, four from you.
Thank you. Apologies, my questions were a bit obtuse, but my overall question that I didn't actually write through to you, have we had an elected member engagement session on this? Did I miss that?
CEO? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's okay. Go through the, rather than chat amongst ourselves, CEO.
So, yes, we did, but it did actually encompass other elements as well. So I think it's possibly there was discussion and points taken, but there were other topics. It was all around the sponsorship, events strategy, events generally. So we have, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Bain. Deputy Lord Mayor, we note there were some questions from you, I think seven.
Thank you. Yeah, the question's been answered. I've probably got comments now, which is probably not appropriate for this forum, so hold on for next week.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor Andy and Deputy Lord Mayor. Yes, Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks. Page 10, just elaborating on an answer to Councillor Leeser's question. PCEC being included in the strategy, has the city received an update as to what's happening with PCEC?
CEO?
In relation to?
The Wiley Group, the redevelopment, handing it back, not happy with it.
No, no further advice.
Are there any further questions from any councillors? I'm laughing because of Councillor Bain's eyebrow pump fake, which is just humorous. Not a comment on anything that was said, just good fun. Councillor Gordon?
I'm just looking at the signature events plan for 21-22 and specifically page 160 of the PDF, and there's a flow chart that seems to point down to the idea of creating legacy. And I just wonder if that is something that we want to do and perhaps the perception, a negative perception that can be put on creating a legacy from the council.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. What page is that, by the way, sir?
It's 160 of the PDF or page 3 of the events plan.
Right, okay, thank you. CEO.
So if that's a decision as at next week that you would prefer that language not be used, we can make the adjustment after.
If there's potential to use different language, I'd like to see that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What language do you think might be appropriate?
I think we understand, so our reference to legacy could be misconstrued.
Creating a desirable event location.
Understand. Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Are there any further questions? Thank you. Well, let's move to item 13. We don't need to discuss now, do we? Item 14, Corporate Services Reports. 14.1 is the monthly financial report for March 2021. Do any councillors have a question on this item? No, thank you. 14.2, Schedule of Accounts paid March 2021. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Lisa, 3 was submitted.
Yes, thank you, Lord Mayor. I have a follow-up question on my question number 2, which is relating to a check regarding Cathedral Square placemaking. I don't understand what Cathedral Square placemaking is. So the answer just says Cathedral Square placemaking, and it's also written there next to the check. So I understand what the words mean, but I don't understand what it is. Thank you.
Thank you. Sia?
So it's really activation of the space. So all of the key partners in the area make a contribution to place activation.
Can you give me an example, please, so that I understand?
I understand that the past arrangements have included yoga or Pilates. I would have to ask the General Manager Community Development what are the specifics.
I will actually have to take that on notice and get some more detail on the extent of
it. I understand now. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, Councillor.
Yep.
Sure.
Yep.
Okay. Are there any further questions? Thank you. Well, it is not cheap, I know that.
Question, Lord Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Gordon.
I note that in March the city spent $14,700 on catering.
Mm.
Now, it seems like a lot of money, and I'm sure there's things happening that we don't see. Can we, I know it was part of the inquiry recommendation, that if the dining room was still continuing, we'd get some transparency on that. I'd like to see, if we can, some transparency on the breakdown of that money. And I don't think that even includes, there's other items for catering staff. I think that's just food. I think that's a lot of money. And, if we can reduce that, it'd be good.
Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Can I say from, just by the by, but from somebody who's here, you know, all the time, there are a lot of events held, and I'm often surprised, not surprised, but there are events on a very regular basis. I'm the biggest beneficiary because there are often sandwiches left over, and I help myself, and I enjoy them. But I do take your point, but also to that point, there are, it's possible that that elected members are maybe not aware of how many times the respective spaces are used, how many community groups use them, but also how many of our own advisory groups are often up here. But even so, I think it's a very fair question and one that we can provide more detail around to be ever transparent in everything that we do. Thanks. Yeah.
Just so it can be circulated to elected members.
Yeah. Thanks, Councillor Gordon. Appreciate it. Any further questions? Item 14.3 is differential rates 2021-22. Now, do any councillors have a question on this item? Thank you. We'll go to 14.4, Budget Amendment Strategic Property Review. Are there any questions from councillors on this item? Thank you. Item 15, Chief Executive Officer Reports. So 15.1 is the appointment of the West Australian Electoral Commissioner to conduct the 2021 election. Can it be that time already? It would seem that we're getting close. Do any councillors have any questions on this item, please? No, we'll go to 15.2, the Design Advisory Committee appointments. Any questions from any councillors? Councillor Gordon.
Thank you. I note that the report says that the appointment should be by name and not position. So given that, can we also make the decision to change the terms of reference of the committee in this decision?
Sia?
Can I just ask the Alliance Manager Executive Services to look at that?
Yes, Councillor, that can be done.
Thank you, Alliance
Great.
Manager.
So
thanks.
That thing has to be done.
So that has to be done. Yeah, okay. Any further questions, anyone? Thank you. 15.2 is done. We did 15.2? Yeah. 16, Committee Reports. Policy Committee meeting held on the 10th of May 2021. Review of Policy 9.13, non-rateable properties, rate exemptions and partial rate exemptions. Any questions from councillors on this item? 16.2 review of policies, overdue rates and financial hardship. Any councillors have a question on this item? 16.3, amendment to policy 2.2, purchasing. Any questions, councillors? 16.4, review of policy 9.2, heritage rate concession. Direct financial interest has been received from Councillor Gordon. Thank you, Councillor Gordon.
Any questions?
Yeah. Oh, are there any questions? Yes. Otherwise, Councillor Gordon won't need to leave. No questions? Thanks, everybody. Item 16.5, review of policies 14.10, issue of certificates and permits under the Liquor Control Act 1998 and 14.11, approval of events on roads. Any questions from any councillors on this item? Councillor Fleeton.
Thanks. What's the cost here with the change, and then is there going to be the ability to escalate to us if the staff say no and they want to say yes?
CEO.
I'll put that to the General Manager, Community Development.
Thanks, CEO.
Can I take that one on notice, please? Thank you.
Thanks, Councillor. Any further questions? Item 16.6, review of dining outdoors. Any questions from any councillors? 16.7, review of policy 14.14, mobile food trading. Any councillors have a question on this item? Thank you. 16.8, review of policy 18.9, street entertainment. Any questions? 16.9, review of council policies 9.5, 18.13, 18.14, sponsorships, grants and donations. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Councillor Coe, we note two questions were received from your good self.
I'm happy they've been answered. I just wanted to get some clarity on what the procedure was.
Thanks, Councillor Coe. Any further questions? Item 16.10, review of council policies 10.5, 10.6, 10.10, 10.16, 13.16A, council member allowances, fees and entitlements. Do any councillors have any questions on this or these items? 16.11, review of policy 10.13, reimbursement of expenses for non-council committee members. Do we have any questions? Audit and Risk Committee meeting held on May 11, 2021. 16.12, internal audit progress report. Do any councillors have a question on this item? Okay, item 17, motions of which notice have been given, which will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week. Item 18, matters for which the meeting may be closed. There are four confidential reports within the agenda which are considered confidential in accordance with Section 5.23 of the Local Government Act 1995. If any elected member has a question on any of the confidential items on their attachments, we will need to move behind closed doors. Now, questions with notice received from Councillor Fleeton on confidential items 18.3 and 18.4. Right, so we're just closing the meeting to the public at this point into the room, although it would appear as though we are just about done. Item 19 is urgent business. Thank you all for your questions in relation to the reports. Item 19, urgent business, will be dealt with at the ordinary council meeting next week.
Yes, that sounds good. Actually, that would be great.
Yeah.
Maybe 5:45?
Yeah, okay. So we'll just have a brief break and there's something to eat and then we can reconvene in the room next door at 5:45. But welcome back to our friends. There being no further business, I'll now declare the agenda briefing session closed at 5:32 p.m. Thank you, everybody.
could you all please rise for the departure of the Right Honourable Lord Mayor, Basil Zemplis.